Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Village Baptist Church. Are there any, today is Youth Sunday. We have something special for you today. Are there any announcements? Also, there's an error in the bulletin. There is adult choir this Thursday. Are there any announcements? Anybody else?
In your bulletin, you'll see an announcement concerning a group that we're going to have for the summer when the choir is on break. Okay, the choir is having a much needed break. And we're asking for you to participate, if you can see without moving. It's going to be, if you're 16 and older, on a case by case basis, maybe a little younger. And we're asking if you can.
Anybody else?
Nominating committee, you'll find in your bulletin, among all the other inserts, a questionnaire from the nominating committee. It gives you a chance to tell us what you'd like to do. It does not get you out of being called by the nominating committee, however. We will call you anyway. This just gives you a chance to answer the questions in advance about what you'd like to do. Please fill it out. There's a basket out on the table in front.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down. Let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all, and he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today.
A poem called Stand Up by No Rules Just Right. How about today we stand up? Stand up for the sick, stand up for the hungry, stand up for the children, stand up for the animals. Stand up for the parents, the grandparents, the friends, the enemies, the sisters. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for justice. Stand up for courage. Stand up for peace. Stand up for love. Stand up. Don't sit down. Sitting down will get you nowhere fast, without a sound. While I'm running behind,
crazy. This is the stuff that's been getting to me late. Lay in the middle of my little mess. I forget how big I'm blessed. This is the stuff that gets under my skin. But I've gotta trust. You know exactly what you're doing. It might not be what it would do. This is the stuff you use to break me, my impatience, to conquer my frustrations. I've got a new appreciation. It's not the end of the world. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. This is the stuff. Someone save me in the middle of my little mess. I forget how big I'm blessed. This is the stuff that gets under my skin. But I've gotta trust. You know exactly what you're doing. It might not be what it would do. This is the stuff you use. This is the stuff you use.
Talking about Daniel and the Lion's Den. We'll be reading from a Bible studies book. In the kingdom of Babylon lived a man named Daniel. Besides being a hard worker, he was a true servant of God. God had blessed him with the wisdom and intelligence, and Daniel was grateful. He pledged always to serve God. One day, King Darius asked Daniel to come to his castle. The king said, "Daniel, you are a good man. You are intelligent and loyal. I would like you to become second in command of the entire kingdom. If anything should ever happen to me, you shall be in charge." Daniel was honored. He accepted the king's offer graciously. "I know you can be trusted to take good decisions and do what is right," said King Darius. "The people of Babylon will surely benefit from your wisdom." "Thank you," Daniel replied. "I will promise to be devoted and loyal. I shall always serve you to the best of my ability, and I will do what is right for the people of Babylon." King Darius was very pleased with Daniel. The king gave him more responsibilities because he knew Daniel could be trusted to make wise and just decisions. Daniel was happy in his work. He prayed 3 times a day, thanking God for his many blessings. Unlike Daniel, some of the king's advisors were not very good men. They did not work hard, and they spent much of their time complaining about Daniel. They thought King Darius gave Daniel too much power. They came up with a plan to catch Daniel making a mistake. That proved very difficult. Daniel did not make many mistakes. This upsets them even more. What can we do to get Daniel in trouble?" the jealous advisors asked each other one evening. "I have often seen Daniel praying to God," said one man. "We will urge the king to issue a formal decree. The decree will command that any person caught praying to anyone besides the king shall be thrown into the lion's den." The advisors met with King Darius after the jealous advisors had told him their idea. The king was not sure what to do. He wished he could consult with Daniel, but Daniel was working elsewhere in the kingdom. Finally, the king grew weary of listening to his advisors. He decided to issue the decree they requested. "And you must make this command unchangeable," the jealous advisors urged. No matter what happens, anyone caught praying to anyone besides you must be thrown into the lion's den. So be it, King Darius proclaimed. When Daniel returned, he learned of the king's decree. Saddened by this news, Daniel went to his room to pray. He said to God, The decree says I must not pray to you, but you shall always be first in my life. How can I be loyal to the king while serving you? The jealous advisors had all followed Daniel and saw him praying. They ran to tell the king Daniel had disobeyed the decree. There's Daniel praying. King Darius was very upset. He realized that the advisors had tricked him. He tried desperately to think of a way to save Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. But the wicked advisors reminded the king that he had no choice. Daniel had disobeyed the command, and it could not be changed. With a heavy heart, King Darius summoned Daniel. He said, "Dear Daniel, I do not wish to do this, but I have no choice. I urge you to pray to your God. Perhaps he can save you from the hungry lions." Soon after, the king's advisors led Daniel to a large, dark cave. Daniel bravely walked inside. He knew that God was watching over him. The king's guard covered the opening with a huge stone. "Dear God," Daniel prayed, "I know that you are the greatest king of all. I will always honor you. I hope others will come to do the same." All through the night, Daniel prayed to God. Amazingly, the lions did not harm him. There's Daniel praying through the night. The king did not eat or sleep all night. In the morning, he rushed to the lion's den and commanded his guards to roll away the stone. He called Daniel, "Has your God saved you from the lions?" The king was overjoyed to hear Daniel reply, "Yes, King Darius, God has saved me. He is truly the mightiest king in all the world." King Darius agreed. He immediately helped Daniel from the lion's den and punished the wicked advisors who had tricked him. Then the king issued a new decree. "From this day forward, all people shall pray to Daniel's God, for he is truly the greatest king of all." What did you get from the story? Nothing? Mary, bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for these kids. May you help them to know that you come first in their life forever. Amen.
Hesitate, and I'm talking to me. Don't let your lights come down. Don't let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand out. Let's have the boss get back up. So when you get the chance, are you gonna take it? There's a really big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it. There's a girl on the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you, it's calling you. Don't let your lights go down. Don't let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand out. Let's count the losses, get the help. The losses, get the help. boy, are we playing it safe? Nothing to show us the way. Love is the chance we should take. I'm moving out of the race. Don't let your lights go down. Don't let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Don't let your lights go down. Don't let your fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Why not you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand now. That's how the lost get found. The lost get found. So when you get the chance, are you gonna take it? There's a really big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading the scriptures for today. Today, we've chosen several scriptures that remind us for standing up for what we believe in. Our first scripture verse comes from 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be alert, stand firm in faith, be brave, and be strong. Our next scripture verse comes from 1 Corinthians 15:58. My dear friends, stand firm and don't be shaken. Always keep busy working for the Lord. You know that in everything you do for him is worthwhile. Our next scripture verse comes from 1 Daniel 3:8. I'm determined to keep your principles even forever to the very end. And our last scripture verse comes from Matthew 10:22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. May God bless the reading of this His holy word.
Hello. As the theme of our service this year, we have chosen the topic, Stand Up for What You Believe In. In the Bible, Daniel takes a stand for God, refusing to give up prayer. He was sentenced to death in lion's den, but he was not alone. When we stand up for God, we are never standing alone. He is always there for us. This morning, we will share with you what it means for us to stand up for our beliefs.
Good morning. The Kansas-located Westboro Baptist Church is notorious for its heinous act of hateful protest. Most, if not all of us, have seen, read about, or heard of the vicious, spiteful things this small community of members has committed. From rallying at the burials and funerals of fallen heroes and heroines to condemning the entirety of America and all homosexuals. As if that alone was wrong enough, they additionally boldly do so shamelessly in the name of God. Simply, groups like these are in comparison to a bully, and they cruelly attack their victims. Even though the bully is a much smaller number than the attacked, it continues to remain stronger. Once the victims learn to stand up to their obstacles and do something about them, they will find that the obstacle did not have half the strength of what they originally estimated. Though the Westboro Baptist Church is protected by the First Amendment, there is a point at which the law becomes immoral and unethical. That point is reached when it becomes a cloak for the cowardice that dares not stand up against blatant violations of justice. Although many have courageously acted against the hurtful teachings of hate, not enough have taken a stand yet. Though not everyone can protest or rant, the best thing one can do is take advice from the true teachings of Jesus Christ, to love. The Bible reads, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always perseveres. As a Christian, it is important to remember to be like the Good Samaritan and like Jesus, and always, no matter what rules or social status quo, be kind and caring, and if the least, tolerant of others. There is no exercise better for the heart than reaching down and lifting someone up. Each and every day we are given an opportunity, as small as it may seem, to add to a problem or a solution. Circumstances do not make the man, they reveal him. Each of us has good in purpose and something only each of us can do best. It does no right to hurt and belittle others, not our brothers or sisters, parents, friends, family, nor strangers. Instead, it is better to take time to aid and raise them. That way we can all be great together. Standing up for what you truly believe in is not always the easiest choice, but it is the most beneficial. Life may be tough, but we must be tougher. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. No kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. Good example is followed. A single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. The greatest work that kindness does to others is that it makes them kind themselves. In summary, the most important idea is to remember to stand up for believing in love, because love is all you need. Thank you.
Stand up to society. Most of us are born in a Christian home. We are taught Christian beliefs and how to live a Christian life. As we get older, naturally, we begin to question these beliefs. And as a result, we become more susceptible to temptation. These temptations come from society, but not just a society, as a society is nothing but a group of people who believe in the same ideals. But some societies have more influence than others. This society is the most influential, with its members controlling the TV we watch and the music we listen to. The ideals are presented to us as gifts. It is no longer a matter of how to avoid, but a matter of knowing which ideal to follow and fending it off from other ideals. Because a large group of people may believe in one ideal, we are tempted to go with the crowd. Being with a large group makes us feel like we belong, and we have a large group of people who accept us. We may be willing to do anything to get this feeling, even forget about the Christian life we were raised with. Wear tighter clothes. Money is more important. Abstinence is dumb. Your parents don't know anything. Who needs good grades? Do drugs. Society pounds us with these ideals, pulling at us. Some people are more easily swayed than others, but at one point, we all get tempted to follow this crowd. I can't help but feel like it's the devil testing us. Are we really willing to give up our Christian ideals for societies? We all know right from wrong, so why do some of us have such a hard time standing up to society? We have to. The Christian ideals put forth are to protect us. So all society wants is people to follow. It won't care if our lives are ruined. We need to stand up for the ideals we were raised with, and know by doing that, we are protecting ourselves, resisting temptation, and making God smile.
My testimony today is about abstinence. The definition is voluntary forbearance, especially in cases of food, alcoholic beverage, and sexual relations. I'm standing up for the latter. At my school, Bowie High, most people have already lost their virginity or are looking for somebody to lose it to. And they're not just keeping it to themselves, they're flaunting the fact that they've already lost it. One day, I was sitting outside on my front porch with my best friend, Gabby, and these two girls walked by, and one girl was telling her friend that she had just had sexual relations with this guy she had just met, and she was boasting the fact that she had finally lost it before she went off to college. Now, Gabby and I were kind of confused as to the fact of why she was boasting it. Usually, this is something you would keep for your husband or wait until marriage. So we were just confused. But back in Jesus' day, a woman who had premarital sex was stoned if people found out. And if people didn't, she usually kept it to herself and didn't boast about it. Nowadays, it's the exact opposite. Young ladies are losing their virginity and boasting about it, putting it out there for everybody to know. Abstinence is not about not having sex, it's about waiting to have it with the right person. God designed this act to be between a husband and his wife, not with an insignificant person. The pain you feel now in waiting will be the happiness you feel then, and the ultimate reward of oneness in marriage will be worth every moment of loneliness. This is why I'm standing up for staying abstinent.
on yet, but... Oh, as the theme of this day says, stand up for what you believe. My Bible lesson is from the book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 5. The book of Corinthians is a message of Paul, of God from Paul to the Corinthians. Verse 1 in chapter 12 is concerning spiritual gift to people and how people are ignorant. As it moves forward, we understand from verse 2 that we are gently carried away by domes of adults. Paul makes us understand that people who are praying and speaking in tongues are not doing it with their own power, but with the power of God and their belief in God. We also understand that we all have different talents. For example, I may be blessed with the talent of singing, while others are blessed with the talent of preaching, healing like the pastor. In verse 5, it makes us understand that we have different administration but save one God. Like different churches are also there to save one God as we do. If we do not believe and stand up for the gift we have, we are not fulfilling God's purpose in our life. Therefore, it is a time for you to stand up, shine, and lead with a good example by trying to make people understand what God's word is all about.
Good morning. Matthew 5:16 says, "Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven." Jesus lived a perfect Christian life and is a model of the way we should try to live our lives also. We should accept and love everyone we meet, not just a few or the ones just like us. Jesus, the King of Kings, spent time with fishermen, tax collectors, and loved everyone. Matthew 5:43 says, "You've heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you." At school, sometimes we forget and tend to ignore the not-so-cool kids, be mean to our enemies, and not always be so nice to them like Jesus would have. What would Jesus do? Jesus would befriend those who weren't exactly the popular kids, pray for those who persecute him, and love everyone. A traveler was left on the side of the road, beaten, abandoned, robbed, and half dead. A priest passed by, and later a Levite, but neither stopped to help. A man from Samaria came walking down the road, and he stopped and felt sorry for him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he paid for his stay with 2 silver coins and told the innkeeper to please take care of him. "And if you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return." Jews and Samaritans were enemies and didn't like each other at the time, but the Samaritan still stopped to help the traveler on the side of the road. No one would have expected a Samaritan to stop for a Jew he didn't even know. Be kind, one unto another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let us love our friends, our enemies, and pray for those who mistreat us. Let us live a Christian life inspired by Jesus, and let us be good Samaritans, too.
Jesus came to earth and took a stand beside us. He willingly gave his life for us and was not ashamed to stand up for us. We should stand up for him. Stand up for Jesus. Tell of his love and live a life that reflects his glory. May we pray. God, when we are afraid to speak out, give us the courage to stand up for our beliefs. Amen.
Those testimonies were all original. They wrote them themselves, and they expressed their own convictions. Aren't you encouraged by that? It may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, to stand up for what you believe, maybe to follow him as a believer in baptism. We would offer you that opportunity. It might be that you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not a part of a church family, at least not a part of this church, and you'd want to unite with us. We would welcome that decision as well. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and if there's anyone who would like to make a Christian commitment today, we invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 497, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.